So I want us to be sensitive to the Spirit. I don't know if there's a way we can reduce the noise, please. If not, it's fine, but if there's anything we can do, maybe Sweet or YouTube or something, I don't know. Because I'm very sensitive, and I also want us to be sensitive, right? Give me your full attention. Because today, we're going to talk about how to deal with the spirit of shame. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you excited to be in church?
Yes, sir.
If you're excited, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
And we're going to pray. But before we get to the place of prayer, I'm going to just say one or two things. And then would allow Jesus to do what he wants to do. Amen. All right, let's go to Genesis 2. From verse 21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. You can change it back to NKJV. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Hallelujah. You know, there is this thing that we see recently, this new phrase, God no go shame us. I mean, meaning that if you're in an embarrassing situation, maybe you have visitors, right? And then maybe at that point in time they have visitors, your general decides to start misbehaving, right? And this is a very important visitor that I want to impress, you know. Then what we usually say is that, God no go shame us, God no go shame us, you know. You'll start casting and binding some kind of spirit. Abi? Or maybe you are walking on the road and there are boys there, there are girls there, people that you want to impress, that's a big guy. And all of a sudden your slipper should cut. Right? Then you know to, you know that feeling, you know, where you be trying to manage it at first. You be trying to, where you be lifting your leg, you know? And you might say also that God no go shame us as a prayer to God that you know, take away the shame from me. Right? You guys can come to the edge. And that statement is very funny. That's the kind of statement that the demon concocts, right? God no go shame us, because the statement says two things. First, it says that, number one, that God is with you, right? Meaning that the statement implies that this person that is making the statement knows about God and has some kind of relationship or interaction with God, right? And the second thing the statement implies is that with God, there's the possibility of shame. Are we together? So let God do something about the shame. In other words, let God magically make my generator start working again. Right? Or let God magically fix my slippers on the road. Right? Let him just enter back and just, Holy Spirit, thank you. Right? I'll let God, that person that insulted me that I don't have money, let him have a car accident and break his leg, you know? So it implies those two things. First, that God is with you. And that's not the bad thing, because it's good that God is with you. But it then says something else, that God being with you also has the possibility of shame. In the sense that shame comes from what you are going through. Hallelujah. But we see here in this scripture that the man and his wife were naked, meaning that they were in a position where they were vulnerable with each other. Hallelujah. Right? To be naked means to be vulnerable. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, they were in a position where they were vulnerable. They were open to attack. There was a level of exposure that they had. There was something that was the hidden parts of themselves. There was no parts of themselves that were hidden. Hallelujah. Right? And even though they were in that situation where there was that openness, you know, there's some of your friends that you can't tell some things. You get what I'm saying now? Like, you know? So even though the man and his wife were in that situation where they were seeing each of themselves 100%, they were not ashamed. Right? So that means that shame was not in the original plan of God for man. The feeling and emotion of shame. Are we together? Are you guys with me? So, when God created man, the kind of man he created, he put him in an environment where shame was not a factor. And this is very important to understand, because we see in chapter 3, after man had fallen, we see in chapter 3, verse 7, that the eyes of both of them were opened, and then they knew that they were naked. So the reason why they were not ashamed was because they did not know that they were naked. Are we together? So it's not that they were not in an embarrassing situation. They were in a situation that was embarrassing, but they did not have the knowledge that they were naked. Right? Then the eyes of both of them were open, then they knew that they were naked. And what did they do? They tried to cover the shame. Are we together? Now, is this not how we live our lives? You know, maybe you're from a family that you don't have money, and then, you know, you then try extra hard to wear good clothes. Or, you know, some people, instead of Balenciaga, they buy Balenciaga, you know, something. You know, where you're going for a party, but you don't have clothes, you don't have this thing, and you're seeing all your mates, you're seeing them. Joshua, what are you doing there? Are you doing anything there? What? Can Demi do it? Oh no, let Demi come. You stay there. But are you listening to me? Okay. What was I saying? Balenciaga, right? Now, you know, I had a friend once that I thought was rich. Because this guy, compared to me, is rich, is way rich. I mean, as at 18, he already had a car that he was driving. You know, that's why you have a car. Like, the parents had plenty of cars, so he was just driving the car. And in my eye, I used to trek to his house. So in my eye, this guy was rich. Until the day the guy said he wanted to go for a party, and I said, how far without your car now? He said, no, I can't drive that car. And he was insistent that he can't drive the car. Why? Because the party that he was going to, his Mercedes-Benz they were driving. Yes. So, to me, he's rich, but to him, he's poor. Going to that kind of party, right? Now, this means that usually, shame is a knowledge. You get what I'm saying? Shame comes by knowledge. It's information that brings the feeling of shame. Are we together? That's why children don't know class. You know what I'm saying? Like a child. Child of rich child does not know the difference between rich and poor child. They all play together, right? But as they begin to grow up, are we together?
Yes, sir.
They begin to understand that, it's like my shoe is finer than other people's shoe, right? So, or the child begins to understand that, like money not today, because you know that your friend, I went to visit their house, and you didn't know that they had money like that, so you thought you guys were on the same level, but you just went to visit them. And then, you just saw PS5, hey. And then you're like, struggling to be playing game on your Android phone. Are we together? So, shame is usually, please stay with me. Shame is usually a knowledge. And the danger of shame ultimately is that it hinders you from achieving your purpose in life. I'll explain why later, but just take that for now, right? So it's a feeling that you really need to deal with, and there's a way to deal with it. Is if shame came by knowledge, to take away the shame is another knowledge. Are we together? So, there are two main manifestations of shame. You see, many of us have things that we don't know that it is shame that is causing it. Hallelujah. Amen. If you were to ask Adam now, why are you sewing this leaf and sewing these clothes? He can give you many reasons. He can say, when I tie the leaf on my neck like this, it makes my neck look beautiful. Have you now? You can say, it's keeping me from the cold. Have you now? You know? You can say it helps. You know, if I'm hungry, I don't need to go to the, this is in my pocket, I can just bring out leaf and eat, and I'm okay. Right? You can say many things, right? They say, wait, how many women that have done plastic surgery have told you that it's because they're ashamed of their shape? Everybody says that, you know, this is, I just feel good in this, you know, this is how, you hear what I'm saying, right? So, shame manifests in two major ways. And I tell you the truth, there are many of us that the pathologies that we have, what I mean by that is the rubbish that we have, right? Our bad behavior, so many things that we do, right, is as a result of shame. Now, the first thing is what you see here, where you try to cover your shame by yourself. It's an issue. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? That's the first issue that shame causes. Right? Are we together? You try to cover your shame by yourself. Most people erect a barrier, right, that you cannot pass. You get what I'm saying? So if you're going to your house, there's some people that will just say, my house is in that place. You get that language now. So they want to go because they don't want you to see their house, right? And that's the problem. That's the first problem that it causes, is that you try to cover it with your own energy, right? And there are many things we do. Hallelujah. There's some people, what they want is love per se, or maybe you know, there's some girls there that just chose a guy just because he was the guy that came at the last moment. It's not like that's who they really loved. You get what I'm saying, right? Is that on Valentine's Day that is coming now? All the girls are having gifts, you know, everything, and so just come. So, you know, that's not really who they like. In fact, let me not say too much. But you get my point, right? That the very first thing that shame does, and please, I want you to be sensitive, please. That the very first thing that shame does to us is that it makes us try to cover it by ourselves, which is always inadequate. It's always been inadequate because the issue of the shame is the knowledge. What is causing the shame is the knowledge, it's not the nakedness. Are we together? You understand what I'm saying? What's causing the shame is not the nakedness. Amen. What's causing the shame is the knowledge of the shame. And so we'll get there, but God, in dealing with shame, does not need to change your situation. Are we together? Because that is not what is causing the shame. Amen. The second thing that shame then does is that it hinders you from flowing in the power of God. It hinders you from flowing in the power of God. Let's go to Matthew 14. From verse 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, just stop here. "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Hallelujah. Now, how many of you have done family events, wedding, naming ceremony in your family? Have you? You've done, have you? Like, we're part of the, you know, like your family was doing something, so you people are. Now, you know that there's one fear in that place that the food will finish. Right? Like, that fear, even before the event, Seth. Especially if you don't have money, you know. Your mother is, hey, raising him, ha. You know, you'll bring money, or bring money, or. Why? So that this family will not be ashamed. Abi? Now, imagine you're in that kind of situation, yeah, and maybe Pastor Lalu comes down and I'll say, "Ah, I'm on Pastor Lalu, wow. See the problem that we have now. Ha. Wedding has just started and food has finished." It's embarrassing, Abi. And Pastor Lalu now says, "What do you have?" Or, no, not before he says, "What do you have?" He says, "You go and give them something to eat." You know, most of us would think that he's a madman, right? I came to you to tell you that food has finished. And you're telling me to give them something to eat. So, I lack something. And you're telling me to give it to people. Can I give people money that I don't have? Abina. But Jesus told them, "You give them something to eat." Hallelujah. So, you see, many of us, you remember I'm talking about how shame hinders the flow of God. Many of us, there are things that have been deposited in you. that, or rather, what has been deposited in you, eh? You actually have the capacity to give something that you don't have. Hallelujah. But because of shame, right, you hinder yourself. Are we together? You limit yourself. And then you say, can I really do this thing? Are we together? You get what I'm saying? So, Jesus does not necessarily look for the evidence of something before he says, go and do this thing. Because Jesus has faith. Amen? But rather, Jesus was expecting, now Jesus had to do this thing himself, but he was expecting that his disciples would be able to understand that the capacity to do it is not dependent on what they are seeing about themselves, or is not dependent on what is in their bank accounts, but is dependent on who is with them. In other words, you can do it because God said you can do it, not because you think you can do it. Are we together? Now, shame stops you from thinking like this. Because you can be sent to your mate that is richer than you, but you will not be able to open mouth because you think that you don't have capacity. You know what I'm saying? So the way you are behaving is not necessarily the way you should be behaving, though. Or your output in life is not necessarily, if shame was totally taken out of your mind, you can right now be doing things that you think you cannot do. Hallelujah. Are you guys with me? I hope everybody is understanding me. Okay. It's good. So that's when we start praying, you understand what we are saying. For instance, I've been telling you that you're a man of God since. Eh? But you're looking at your stature. You're looking at your English. You're even looking at your clothes. But, you see, God has never said that it's good English that will make anointing flow. You get what I'm saying? Right? Hallelujah. In fact, God even has a bias for disadvantaged people. Do you understand? Because that's where human beings like to discard. Are you together? If you are disadvantaged, you're a candidate for greatness. Just being disadvantaged in the eyes of God. Right? And so, the challenge is that God will begin to talk to you and say, give them something to eat. Do this. Do that. Right? But you will say, look at me. What do I have? I have nothing. Amen. Now, recently, Satan came to talk to me. Or not really Satan. I don't know. I don't think it's Satan. But at least one of his people came to talk to me. And he just whispered to me that, you say you want to go and preach now. Yeah. Ah, God, if I tell you guys will laugh. You say you want to go and preach now. How will you go to that school? Will you enter bike? I'll go there and preach. Right, you know, man of God has a way, you know, there's a way out to be as a man of God now. Like, many of you don't lie. How many of you would trust the man of God that I saw coming with bike? Eh? You know, man of God has to be man of God. right? Then he has two bouncers. Ah, the anointing is plenty. Right? And he now suggested to me that, you know what, okay, you know what, take Uber and go. When you're done, ah. They owe me. And then I told him, I said, what does my anointing have to do with car? What does it have to do with car? Did God anoint me for car? Or did God... if you know how I think, did God say that this anointing is car that it will produce? So I replied to him, I said, look, just leave me alone, please. Let me enjoy my life. In fact, because of that very reason, I will go with bike. Yeah, go with bike. Go with bike after people have been slain. They'll come out. All of us will be together. You'll not see me. Hey, Alagbole, Alagbole. And I'll stop the bike. Enter and go to my house. Right? Because the knowledge in me does not allow for shame to hinder the flow of God. Right? There's nothing I'm not going to do because I'm embarrassed. Hallelujah. So, and well, let's read on. Let's read on. 17. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. 18. He said, bring them here to me. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke. And gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Let me tell you something about how God anoints people. God anoints people in trickles. Hallelujah. Remember, I was talking about how shame hinders the flow of God, right? So, what's the first thing that shame does? What's the first thing that shame? You try to cover it. Second is, you try to cover it unsuccessfully, right? Because you will not be successful. You get, you will still feel the shame, right? The second thing is that it hinders the flow of God through your life. So Jesus Christ, you know, I was talking about how the anointing trickles, right? And so, at first, the anointing manifests in little, anything that you are called to do. You can even manifest from year one that you get born again. You just notice that there's a particular kind of grace that works once in a while. Or that people would usually notice your calling before you. Hallelujah. And so when they notice your calling before you, they would call you and place some demands on you. So they will tell you to do things. The same way Jesus told them, you give them to eat. They will tell you to do things, right? And when they tell you to do those things, if you don't do those things, you will not grow in the anointing. So anybody expecting that the anointing will just come one day, boosh, is not always like that, right? It could be like that for some people, but it's not always like that. For most of us, it's come in trickles, right? Usually, people would recognize your areas of grace, and then they'll begin to lay demands, right? And those demands will take you to places. You have to go through the road of shame, or you have to overcome it, because you will not, you know, what I mean, for instance, is that you'll be poor, but you'll be called to talk to rich people. So you will not, if you say that you will go and gather money from everywhere, then so suit. The anointing will not flow. You have to, with courage, wash your shirt, iron it, and go there. You get what I'm saying? right? So until you go through it and until you choose, because it's a choice, that's where I'll end. Until you choose to be courageous, right? The anointing will not increase. Hallelujah. You get what I'm saying? And this is manifest everywhere. It manifests even in this preaching thing. If I call you to preach now, you're stammering. It's because of shame, right? It's because you can talk. Everybody can talk. You get what I'm saying, right? So, until you learn how to just talk your own. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to learn how to just talk. That's when you'll be shocked. Some people just fall under the anointing. They will say, okay, they called me to this thing. Are we together?
Yes, sir. Together.
And that's how it is everywhere. Because in life, you will always meet people that, I've told you this multiple times, you will always meet people that are better than you, as per more intelligent, smarter, finer. You get what I'm saying? If you are hoping on your makeup to attract guys, hey. You understand what I'm saying? Right? And that's why the business that will never die is sex, kaya mata. How many people know that is? Right? You know, jazz to attract men. That business will never die. See, Jesus comes. It'll never die. Right? Because, don't go and Google it though. Because. Because women in this context, right, is also the reason why people like Andrew Tate are reigning amongst for guys. Well, that is another issue, right? But people are always looking for opportunity to hide their shame. Women, you know, that shame of 30, no husband, it's heavy. It's too heavy. You get what I'm saying, right? And it'll always be heavy outside of God. So there's so much desperation. You know what I'm saying? Right? And you can be in church forming holy girl and you're desperate. You can. And let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you the truth. Women, listen to me. Desperation is an odor. You will attract flies. Yeah. If you are desperate for men, you will attract men for desperate women. There's some men that are specially crafted by Satan for desperate women. You get what I'm saying? The idea, just be desperate, they'll smell you. Yeah, I'm serious. I'm serious. So that shame, it can become an odor. You get. But who says you need? Don't gauge your beauty by how many men are. You get, because dead rat attracts flies. Yeah, so you don't, they attracted 15 flies doesn't mean that you attracted quality. You get what I'm saying? Right? So that's, you're having, it's not a disease that nobody is asking you out. You get, it's not a disease. It's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. People should fear before they ask you out. Like, people should think about their life. Can I really handle this girl? Yeah, that's what he wants. That's what he wants. You get? It's not quantity, it's quality. All right? So, you don't want to live your life on the engine of shame. You get? Hallelujah. You want to be free. If you have one shoe, you want to rejoice in your one shoe. Because, you see, there's a Christianity that has been formed to take away, you know, not to take away, but it has been formed to manage your shame. That is not Christ. Hallelujah. That is not Christ. You are in that kind of Christianity if you cannot come to church because your clothes are not new. You know that kind of Christianity, right? That is not Christ. Huh? That's not how me I'm doing my thing. So, shame can be taken away. Now, how do you deal with shame? You deal with it by knowledge. Remember I said that, now, where we are going to is prayer.
So, and let me just say this, that your life does not need to change before shame is dealt with. Because shame is a knowledge, it's not a state. And so, a superior knowledge of God can deal with it. And you will still be like that. You will be naked and not ashamed. You get what I'm saying, right? So you will still be in the embarrassing situation, but instead of shame, you rejoice. You get what I'm saying? So, knowledge, right? The first knowledge is that God is with you. It's three knowledges, please, let me be serious. Matthew 28. Hey, God, have mercy on me. The reason why I'm laughing is that I can tell you. So let me tell you the beauty of it. So that when we start praying, I'll tell you how to pray, and you see how God will move. So the level of weight in the building is heavy. So don't laugh, but I wanted to joke, and they warned me. Is this the time to joke? Don't laugh yet. So let me go back to. All right. So the first thing, God is with you. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, we see this here. And Jesus, I'm going to rush because we need to pray. And Jesus came to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus has promised us that he is with us. So you are not going through anything alone. You are not going through anything without hope. All right? You are going through whatever you are going through with God. If you believe that, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The second thing is that God is not just with you. He is on your side. Are we together? If you're a child of God, he's on your side. He is biased towards you. Let's go to 1 John 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. Now, what does it mean to advocate for someone? In your simple kind of understanding, you can understand it as to fight for someone. Abi? To push things for someone, right? So maybe there's contention, right? If you go to school, you will not go to school. Then somebody will step in. He must go to school. Then you will not go to school. In that kind of situation, right? So we have Jesus as our advocate, right? So in every situation that we find ourselves in, Jesus is biased towards us. How many of you, you need to live life with this kind of knowledge. And this is the kind of knowledge that you need to pray until it becomes in your heart. This is how you would rejoice even in embarrassing situations. This is how you will rejoice even with all your defaults, all your deficiencies. Because Jesus is on your side. Everybody say, Jesus is on my side. He's biased towards you. You get? If they're arguing something, he's going to argue in your favor. He will defend you. Right? And when you don't understand this, you can't even see how he's doing it. Because he's doing it faithfully, even if you don't know, right? But you can only appreciate it when you know, meaning that you can only begin to see the actual doings of Jesus Christ when you understand this thing. So even in that tight situation, God has actually done something. It's just that you can't see it, and therefore you're not grateful. You get? So he's on your side. He's for you. He's on your team, or you're on his team. Right? So he's advocating for you. Some of you, the second chances that you've gotten in many things is because actually God wanted to, this guy is done. Send this guy away. But Jesus said, no, let's give him another chance. Yeah. And lastly, he is in you. So, to cap it all up, he is with you. He is for you, or he's on your side. And he's dwelling in you. Now, all this points to the knowledge that with Jesus, you don't have a disadvantage. Hallelujah. Ultimately, what all these three things does is that it makes you understand that with Jesus, I don't have a disadvantage. Until you get to the place where you see people that have money that don't have Jesus and you are pitying them, you're not there yet. Right? You know, right now everybody wants to be Dangote's child. You know, even Christians, right? All of us are wishing. You know, if only, you know. But until you get to the place where you are pitying anybody that doesn't have Jesus Christ, you are not here yet. So it's not something that's why you need to pray. That's why you need to pray. You need to let God know that you are serious about getting there. And you say, God, I need to understand these things. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Because it's not a flaky understanding. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to an 8-year-old that understands what he's saying. But it's a heart cry. Hallelujah. And so lastly, what does this do? What does this knowledge do? It gives us the decision to believe God. You know, we're going to end with the Apostle Paul. He had a fantastic ability to frame things correctly. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live, are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Hallelujah. So Paul says that I'm going through so many things. Right? Let's go to verse 8 and 9. we are hard-pressed. We are perplexed, meaning that we are confused. We are struck down. We have been attacked, but we are not destroyed. But if we now go forward in verse 16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Why? Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction. Now, look at what he's calling light affliction. Do you see that? So, he says, perplexed, confused, there's wahala. Like, serious wahala. He now says that, look, see, this thing is working for the renewal of our inner man, even though our outward man is perishing. He now comes here and says, for our light affliction. So if you see Paul now, if you see him suffering, you'll be like, this guy is suffering. What can we do to help Apostle Paul? You get what I'm saying now? If you see him, but the way he sees himself, that this is a light affliction. He's malaria. Don't worry. I'm malaria now. You know. How many of you have had malaria and thought you would die? Or maybe he has serious malaria, right? You know, most of us, you have malaria. And a tablet now. By tomorrow, safe. You know, most of us don't even finish our malaria medication. Once you reach half and you're feeling okay, you'll just. But Paul is saying, imagine you treat cancer that way. You have cancer. They say you have cancer of the lungs. And you just come and say, That's cancer now. Maybe. We'll see now. Next week now. Should be naming ceremony. I'm coming. Don't worry. Let me just sleep and wake up. It will balance itself. You know what I'm saying? That's what Paul did. Right? So, your problem is big because your eye is big. You know what I'm saying? Right? And don't joke with this thing because Satan can use anything. One of us gave testimony. When I heard that testimony, I was shocked. 70K caused depression. Yes, it can happen. Me, if I lose 70K now, don't worry, now, next month now, I'll just manage. Two weeks. They'll soon pay salary, right? But that thing can make someone kill themselves. Yes, because the problem is big. Right? It can be 5K. You know what I'm saying? It can be boy has not talked to you in the past 6 months. Yes. Can be anything. Yes. So many people are sad. So many people are sad that boys are not talking to them. Yeah. You talk to them, you don't talk to their friend, it's a problem. They don't like you. Or you talk to their friend, you don't talk to them, they don't like you. People know what I'm talking about now. Right? It's issue. We now have serious issue. Serious issue that they'll be insulting you on the way back. But it doesn't have sense. It doesn't have sense. It's arrogance. Right? So anything can take you out. Because the weight of a problem is from the perspective you are looking at it. From the perspective of shame, it is your end. From the perspective of God, it is light affliction. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray. I want us to stand up. Let's rise. Is there anyone that is not filled with the Holy Ghost? Let us know so that, because the prayer now is going to shoot up. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Okay. When did you get filled? When did you get filled? Huh? Okay. Ah, that's powerful. Eh? All right. So, I want you to look at your life because remember I told you it's a decision, right? Paul made a decision. Everybody, are you with me? Are you with me? Please stay with me or stay with me. Paul made a decision to transfer, to convert, right? Like converting naira to dollar. He converted his shame. He converted the trouble that he was going through. He converted it to light affliction. So it's a decision to turn, right? But what you are going to use to make that decision is the knowledge of God. It has to come into your heart. Are you hearing me? It's not just what you see. It's not a happy statement. That's why I did not hype you up. It's not a woo-woo. It's revelation knowledge. It's the light of God's word. It's the fire of God. It comes with light. It comes in fire. Right? It also comes as an expression of his love. Hallelujah. All right? It also comes as an expression of his love, meaning it comes as a reassurance that all is well with you. You get, right? And so I know we all have areas of our lives where there are deficiencies, areas of our life where shame has finished us. You know, areas of our life that you've not even told your pastor, you've not told anybody, you are just hiding, right? Or you are not hiding, but you are trying to cover it up. You're trying to say, let them not see me, let them not know me. You know, let me adjust. Let me make money quickly, Lord, so that I can come out of this thing quickly, right? I want you to pray and discard it, right? In the place of prayer, I'm going to pray. And say, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer, which is, Father, I drop my shame. Fill me with your love and your fire. Can we begin to pray? Mala sika la bra shuta le bra kamburoko seketa bra badabokosha. Please, I need you to pray. Kabre kase bra kase kala bashaka. Let your heart cry out to God. Kabre kesu kala ma shata le bra kose kabra kabala kuboko shata le bra kasa. Marani marako seketa la bra kasu kata le bra kasike. Ombre kasaka la kabre kasike leke broko saka la kabakashi. Lebra kasu kala kabreka su kele kabaka shata ebre kabara kasu tele brokosi kele ke brokosi mamaradu breke si kala kabaka shikele ke brokosi mbra kabreka su malade brabada manaku mbra katabela kusha rabele kosi kele ke brokosi kele ke brabala bakashi ara manam breka su katele brokosi kele ke bakasha ramena morose se balaka satula braka braka baraka shata. Ambreke brokosho, cry out to God, cry out to him. Arebodo shetele brokosi. Say, Lord, I discard my shame. Are manaka brekesh, fill me with your love. Fill me with your knowledge. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your fire. I discard my shame. Cry out, kobre kabasha, tale brakosa. Ramanaka setele brokosi. Lambreke sikala kabrekesi. Ranim rakasi keleke brokoshe tale brakasa sali braka ambrika sotele brokose keleke brokose ke malakuma kasha mamera brokosi keleke braka tali brokosi ambreke sikeleke brokoshi kalaka braka molokosu ombrokose ketele brokosi keleke brokosi ambreke brokosi keleke brokosi mambre balabaka shuta le braka braka borokosa kalaka braka balaka brokosi keleke braka balaka bakasha ambreke sikalaka braka balokosi kalaka braka balaka braka bolokosa ombraka baraka balaka bakashi kalaka braka bara mambreke sikeleke brokosi kalaka braka borokosi kalaka braka bolokosa ambreke sikala fill me with your knowledge, Father. Ambreke suka la kabreka maluka sika la kabreke balakobokosha.
Mare brokosi, mombre bere kabreka suka la kabreka bolokosa, mambre ke sikele ke brokosha, araba la kabraga li kabrokosi kele ke brokosi, ambre ke sikele ke brokosi, kala kabraka barakoto koloko brokosi, mambre ke sikele ke brokosi, kabraka bolokosi, ombre ke sikele ke brokosi, kala kabraka bolokosi.
Keep praying, keep praying. Pray until you have a breakthrough. Pray until there is a breakthrough. Calabrosi, Baramani Kibrokosi, Fapara di Belacosi, Catali Brica Bocos, Musa Talibra Cabrique, Citelebra Badaba, Shatula Bricanoma, Sabere Dobrique, Sutelebra Cassique Legebrocosa, Embrique Sica la Cabrica, Sutelebrocosa, Breca Brocosi, Balacabrique, Sukelica Bracabrocosa, Ambrique Sica Legebrocosi, Calacabra Cabracosi, Cotelebrocosi. Mambre ke si ke leke brokosi kalaka brokosi kalaka brokosi mambra satala ba shatu la braka braka barakosi ele brokosi ke leke braka barakosa tali brabasha ala brike si ke leke brokosi ke leke brokosi ke leke brokosi ele brabaraka brokosi kalaka breka suka tali braka breka bolokosa mara nim breka su tala ba shatale brokosi Sombre cabrica su celebro cosa calebro cosa.